So this is our session 4, Understanding the Gospel, Series 3. Matthew 28, from verses 18. Jesus came to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So it says, "Go make disciples," right? Make disciples. That word "make disciples" implies how you enroll one in a style of learning, where that one becomes a scholar. We've said this over and again, and keep saying it. Hallelujah. So in discipleship, we said, discipleship will be carried out via teaching, right? That is the word didasco, which will carry the weight of how scriptures are explained and read, right? And so that means didasco will carry with it didaching, right? Didasco will carry with it didaching, because the word didasco is from another word, dao. It's from the root, it's from the primitive root Greek word dao, which means to impact by learning. Jonathan, to impact by learning. So, and to carry how scriptures are explained. So, within the last 3 weeks, we'll be looking at how Jesus' mode of explaining scripture is Jesus' didaching. And we'll say Jesus will begin his teaching from Moses, right? Right? And from all, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Luke 24. Right? Luke 24. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, explain to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus will begin from Moses. And we'll say Moses is the beginning of scriptures, or beginning of writing in scriptures. In Matthew 19, verses 5. Matthew 19, verses 5. We saw that they came to ask him a question, verses 4, concerning shall a man put away his wife for any cause. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female?" So Jesus will respond, Jesus answers, what Jesus' teaching will come from the Genesis. And in looking at the Genesis, you will have to read carefully. So that is the word anagenoscope. So we have anagenoscope. Anagenoscope, which we said, Jesus' anagenoscope will imply that I will read everything together. Was that what we said? I'll have to read everything together. First of all, his anagenoscope will mean to begin for Moses. Right? Have you not read? He who made them at the beginning. Have you not? And meaning anagenoscope is to read from the beginning. In Matthew 12, verses 3, they came asking him a question. Or they came accusing his disciples that they did what was not lawful, Matthew 12:3, on the Sabbath day. And Jesus took them to where? He took them and he said to them, "Have you not read that what David did when he was hungry?" 1 Samuel. He took them to 1 Samuel. Hallelujah. "Have you not read what Moses did when he was hungry? Those that were with him. Hallelujah, how he entered into the house of God and ate the shewbread, which was not lawful for them to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for priests." Did you see that? In verse 5, Matthew 12, verse 5. "Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath and were blameless?" So what did Jesus do? Jesus showed them that anagenoscope will mean I will read everything together. I will read Genesis to Malachi, now in our days, Genesis to Revelation together. You see that? Hallelujah. I will read everything together. Glory to God. I will read in context. That's what it means. Reading context will mean to read everything. Read everything together. So, why? They went to the laws. right? He went to the law. Then Moses gave the law the Exodus, Deuteronomy, concerning what is lawful to be done on the Sabbath. And they beat it. And Jesus said, no. Hallelujah. No. Look at these other people to look at what they did toward the Sabbath day. Are you following me? So, showing them that was where Adam explained the Sabbath, right? Showing them that the Sabbath, what Moses asked you to do, or when Moses said you should do nothing on the Sabbath, he was actually using it to point to what? The Lord's Day. That in the Lord's Day, man rests in God's work, right? Right? Man rests in God's work, meaning in salvation, man does nothing but receive what God has done. It is not by works. Do you understand me? Right? What a man does is to receive what God has done. That is what Moses showed them. That is what Moses is using that illustration to show them. That is what Jesus is saying. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus tells them, I just know without reading everything. So if they had read, if they continue their reading down to somewhere and see what has happened, and also paid attention to what happened in Numbers, right? They would, listen, they would now see that what Moses asked them to do was actually a pointer, was a sign, not the real thing. Are you following me? Are you following me? So anadiosko will mean I'll read everything together. Within context. Know what is the context of what was being said. Hallelujah. Just like where the question I asked us earlier, John chapter 19. John 19, let's look rush to John 19. You know, there are several people who come up with some funny, nasty arguments. And then they will tell you, Jesus finished it on the cross. Everything is paid on the cross. When he said it is finished, it means everything is paid. It is finished, right? Who is the public? Finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is finished. Someone said it's finished. Hallelujah. But it is finished. Hallelujah. There's always someone who's trying to correct me. Somebody I've not born is trying to correct me. It's not broken English, it's broken English. Not born again. Hallelujah. Continue. Well, for who no go try this thing.
How much
answer? Okay, let's continue. Have you seen parents want to argue for school fees?
School fees is 40,000.
I will give you 35,000. Let's continue. Okay. Let's continue. So what do you say? It is finished on the cross. Yeah? The cross is where it is finished. Everything is paid on the cross. You see, that doctrine is the doctrine of people who are hearers or hearers. They just hear, they don't believe well. Because after he said everything is finished on the cross, then he died and resurrected. I don't say everything is finished. Are you following me? Everything is finished on the cross! It's finished! No. Hallelujah. So when he said, when he's using that one, let's quickly rush to John 19. You have to learn to read in context. Right? What is the context of what he was saying? It's the question I begin to ask myself. What was he saying? If you look at, I showed us that if you look at Mark's account, we saw Jesus was reading from where? From Psalms, right? Psalms 22, Psalm 69, right? Right? Let's look at Psalms 22. Let's look at it. Psalm 69. Open to Matthew 27. And look at Psalm 22 first. We did this. Is it in this series or the revelation of God? Is it this series? Is it this series? Are you sure? Okay, let's look at it again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Glory, hallelujah. So, I said, remember I told us that what the writers of the synoptic and the epistles we write, they were, when you see those references, when you see those quotations like Jesus speaking, we say they are shorthand, right? Those were shorthand of what all what he said. Glory to God. And I told her that I first heard it from E.W. Kenyon when I read one of his books, What Happened from the Cross to the Throne. Hallelujah. Well, now that my eyes were open, and Jesus didn't just say, lie, 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 sabatami, and then, no. Hallelujah. He was reading out David. Remember that in CRC, we saw how, where, what was he doing in the grave? We read that, right? Right? That he was reading David. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So those were shorthand. I remember I showed us on Mark 12. Is this Mark 12 now? And Matthew 22. When he was asked, what is that great commandment of the law? Matthew will write and say, love your neighbor as thyself. I mean, sorry, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Deuteronomy 6:6. Right? But when you read Mark, Mark will start from verses 5. He says, the Lord, Yahweh Israel, the Lord your God, is one in car. Are you following me? He now says, you shall love the Lord with all the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Are you following me? So that means that what Jesus quoted was not just those two scriptures, he was reading everything. Do you get? That when you get to Matthew 19, when he says, look at, and I showed also Matthew 19 from verse 5, verse 4. Rush to Matthew 19, 4. Put your hands in Psalms 22. Matthew 19, 4. Look at how Jesus responded to them when they said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? He now says, have you not read? Right? Wait. Matthew 4. He says, have you not read that, and he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? What did he do? He takes them back to Genesis. Now, what Matthew is making you see is that Jesus did not say that you can't do all the inner bed and give them male and female. Jesus took them. What Matthew has recorded for him is a shorthand. Do you understand me? It's a subject matter. Meaning Jesus has taken them down to Genesis. So he's reading Genesis 1 in the beginning. Now, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, male and female. He made them male and female. Genesis 1:27. 28. This is that. So he brings Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:27-28. That means Jesus went from Genesis 1:1 to 28 into what chapter 2? Look at verse 5. For this cause shall a man leave. I mean, into chapter 2, verse 18. Shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I mean, into Genesis 2:24. Now, I mean, you know, Genesis 1 into 2 down to verse 24 together. Are you following me? But now imagine your right hand and put Nazarite in Genesis 1, everything again. How big do you think your Bible will be? You'll be carrying Uganda must be. So they will put reference. So when they put that reference, remember we said there was no chapter and verses. When you see that reference as the first, as the audience, what do you do? What do you have as your textbook, as your Bible? Genesis to Malachi. Do you get? So when you read and you get to this point, now you see, he that made them at the beginning, that is reference, made them male and female. Your mind goes back to Genesis, right? So you quickly rush to the Genesis. What were you start reading from? Will you go to verse 28? There's nothing like verse 28, so you start reading from verse 1. Have you? Down till you get to that point. Hallelujah. So the writer will put that start, you will have that as a reference. You are going back to Genesis. To read everything again, so Jesus read everything. Are you following me? He read everything. Down towards chapter 2, so that you see together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the references are there so that you read everything. Now, look at that Matthew 27, verse 46.
Matthew 7:46.
And Jesus cried out. I mean, in the ninth hour, Jesus cried out to the Lord voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood by know, Jesus kept talking. Now you might just think Jesus just said. You might just think Jesus just said this and it was over.
Jesus just said, "Eloi, Eloi."
No. He was reading something. Glory to God. Look at Matthew 22. He says, verse 1, say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Did you see that? Why are you so far from helping me? And from my words of my groanings. Oh God, I cry in the daytime, but you know yet. But in the night season, and you are not silent. You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our father trusted in you. They trusted in you. I mean, they trusted and you delivered them. They cried and you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm. Psalms 22 is what I'm reading. Psalms 22. I've jumped to Psalms 22.
We are reading it everywhere. We are reading what Jesus said in Psalms 22. Are you following me? So that means on the cross, Jesus was reading out the 22nd Psalm. Are you following me?
Hallelujah. 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 Who you ask for? Am I? Verse what? 10. I will cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb, you have been God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me.
Referring to, do you understand?
Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths, like a ranging and roaring lion, and pour out like water, and my bones are out of joint. My heart is wax, is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue clings to my jaw. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments amongst them. And for my clothing, they cast lots.
Do you see? Just was reading what they've done to him. He's reading it from the 22nd Psalm. Are you following me?
He's reading it. Glory to God. Look at Psalm 69. What did you see? And then if you read down, he now spoke at the end. You now begin to see, oh, you will deliver me. Did you get it? He's not talking about the resurrection. That is, I will resurrect. Hallelujah.
He said, oh, look at Psalm 69.
It continues here. I want to just jump to come to from verses 9 verse 3. Let me just say for verse 13. Say, but as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of the salvation. Deliver me out of the men, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood overflow me. Let not the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from me. your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily, draw near to my soul, and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, my shame, my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for comfort, I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my taste, they gave me vinegar to drink. Did you see that? When they gave me vinegar to drink, let their table become a snare before them, and let their well be in a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, so they do not see, and make their loins shake continually.
Jesus read all this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he read that. Look at that John 19. That is the fast. So in context, Jesus was reading what was said by the prophets, right? And he read them as he unites what is happening to him with what David spoke in the Psalm. Are you following me? Amen.
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 Let me know if you are following me. Are you following me? You kept quiet. Amen. You are saying quiet. Let me know whether you travel to a city. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So verse 30. Are you following me? So he says, and when he had received the sore one, which is the vinegar, right? He said, it is finished. That word finished is the word telio in the Greek. Telio, T-E-L-E-O, telio in the Greek. The word used for it is finished, right? The word that is used for a completion, to bring to completion. Do you understand me? So what did he bring to completion? Is it ever known? You remember what he was reading? Hallelujah. Right? He was reading the psalmist, the writings of the psalmist concerning his death. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that means all what the psalmist said concerning his death has been what? Fulfilled. It's not everything he has fulfilled. No, it is finished concerning what the psalmist said concerning his death. It is fulfilled. That was the psalm. Are you following me? So that when you are done reading and say it is finished, it is fulfilled. And what happened? He died. Glory to God. So you have to read in context. That is analogous code. You have to pay attention to today. When you have references, read them. The references is for you to read everything. Are you following? So you need to do what? Read everything. We also saw that analogous code will imply to understand the background of the audience, right? To understand what? The background of the audience. And we saw that in Matthew 19:8. When he said Moses, when they asked him, why does Moses then allow us to give the blood of divorcement? Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. So it shows that analogous code will imply that what? I must understand the background. Do you see? Hallelujah. I must understand the background. So can we say Jesus' didache includes analogous code? Yes. Read that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you must understand the background. The practice of their world. So Jesus unites the audience of his day with that of Moses. Hallelujah. I follow you. He unites that audience. That Moses permitted them because of the evil practice of their world. And that practice did not change up until Jesus' time. So Jesus unites them. Did you see that? That is unbelief. Are you following me? To unite that world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love what I guess E.W. Kenyon, he said, unbelief. Is it unbelief or sin? Okay, we're not talking about sin, but I will put it this way. Unbelief, which is sin, unbelief is the root of evil in the world. Yeah, it is. It's the root of evil in the world. Obviously. Hallelujah. Wickedness thrives in unbelief. Take it cool. Are you following me? Wickedness thrives in unbelief. In unbelief. It's always saying wickedness thrives in sin, it thrives in unbelief. Hallelujah.
So, in Jesus' didaction, we saw that in Jesus' didaction, the conclusion of his teaching will be concerning him. Concerning him.
Right? Mark, Luke 24:25, he taught them the things concerning himself for all the words of the prophet. So, in 24:44, it says, the word was written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms. He taught them concerning him.
John 5:39, you search the scripture and then you think you have eternal life, this again, which testify of me.
Uniquely, he now took out Moses and now said, if you read Moses' writings, his grapho, you read his writings together, he speaks concerning me. Uniquely, he draws out Moses and says, Moses wrote concerning me. And if I read Moses alone, I will still find that he spoke concerning me. So, listen to this. We'll get there today. But you must understand the fact that the eventual conclusion of scripture, or the Bible like this, the interpretation of scripture will be in the man Christ. We'll find it. So it will lead to, the interpretation of scripture will conclude in the man Christ. We'll get to see that. That is what we are building into. And you will see it shortly. Hallelujah. You'll find it in the man Christ. So, in his didaction, in Jesus' didaction, another thing you would see, remember I was saying in Jesus' didaction you will have an agilus group, another thing you will see in his didaction will be Dhamenu, to explain, to translate, right? To explain, to translate the language, is Dhamenu. So, what Jesus will do is to, and that was what he kept doing. Within the incarnation and in the 40 days, he kept translating to his world, right? To translate the words of the prophet to his world. And in doing so, the one who would do it would have to take the seat of the first audience, the audience when the word was said. Must take the seat of the first audience and understand that in that world, the base communication, the base, not effort base, the base communication, that is the, how should I put it again? The base, lowest form of communication, right? Is parables and the use of figures or the use of figurative expressions. With Jesus in Matthew 13, from verse 13 to 14, will tell us that Moses will employ that usage because of the hardness of their heart. The same thing he too will. This is because of the hardness of their heart. Are you following me? Well, this will employ that which he too will also do. Matthew 13:13-14. We read it last week. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he's not used to spite them, but actually to further explain to them in the base language of their world. Are you following me? In the simplest language of the world, explaining the same truth. Hallelujah. So that said, my job today, listen up, my job today is that I must read the 39 books in the light of this synoptic. I must read that 39 book in the right light of the synoptic and the epistles. Right? Right? Then do a dhamenu to my world today also. So I am also involved in that dhamenu. I'm also involved. Particularly for pastors. Are you hearing me? For pastors. It's not what I want to say today, but for pastors. Every pastor must understand that his role as a pastor is to do a dhamenu. Hallelujah. Like someone asked last week and said, can I go and do research? No. Are you following me? You stay with what your pastor has to teach. That's the role of a pastor. Do you understand? Say, can I go and buy a Greek and Hebrew? You stay with what the pastor has taught you. Aha, stay there, learn it first. Are you following me? Learn, understand what you understand, how your pastor is teaching you. Glory to God. So that is the work of the teacher of the gospel today. You have to read and explain. Do a damenio to his word today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So where we left off last week was in Romans chapter 1. Let's quickly rush to Romans 1. What we want to look at today. Romans 1, 4 verse 1. It says, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called, now that word to be is actually italicized, called an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Called an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, I love how Paul puts it. He said, he called it the gospel of God. Gospel of God. So he called, what he called the gospel of God, he says, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised afore through his prophets. You see that? So that means he brings in the 39 books. You see that? And he calls the 39 books God's gospel. God's gospel. And he said, which he promised. God, so he called the 39 books God's gospel that is sent as a promise. Which, that is, God's gospel was sent as a promise. Glory to God, of what he would do. What we said last week is God's intervention in the activities of men, told in their language. Right? The language of people in their world, because God uses man's language, uses man's vocabulary, uses man's word, God uses men. See, there's nothing you know. Only reason that God uses man. Are you following? God uses men primarily. Because what is available to man is man. God uses man. Are you following? God uses men. So God will use their language. He will use their phrases. Hallelujah. Are you following me? God uses men. So the gospel will be said as a promise. I will say it will be God's intervention in their activities. Right? Told in their language. Now, remember we said their base communication will be parables. Right? Parables. Figurative expressions, right? Illustrations, that is what they have in their world. So that means the parables and, pardon my words, prefigures, which are the languages of that day, will be seen as God's intervention in their world, or should be seen as God's intervention in their world. And as we will later see in the course of this series, which is looking like staying for a while, it will be God's love. It will be God's love in demonstration. Remember, I promised us to show us some things on predestination. What people call predestination is actually God's free plan, not God's predetermined end of anyone. But we'll get to see that too as we teach. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it will be God's law. You see that those figures of speech, those prefigures, those illustrations is God's law. God's intervention. Hallelujah. So Paul uses the word gospel. Gospel. That's the word euangelion. Euangelion in the Greek. That word euangelion is a word used for a good news. It's a word used for a good news. I remember when while I was still much younger, I lived boy. Then I was in primary 5, getting to this one. Primary 4, primary 5, this one. I just attended what they call Good News Club. Good News Club. Good news, Christ died for me. Good news, if I believe. Good news, I have eternal life. Remember, I can't remember. Okay, and a wonderful extra. good news.
So it was good news. That word is from another word. I mean, it's from the Hebrew word. Remember, he said, whatever you see them write, they're writing. You know, remember, we said the epistles are explanation of the what? 39 books, right? Right? So, whatever you see them write, I said they are writing from what? Is a damning new. Did I say that? Or what? Of the 39 books. Are you following me? They actually, remember, it's two words, right? And they're writing to another, to their audience, who now have a new set of language in their world. They have Hebrew, they have Arabic, and then they have Greek. Do you understand? Greek was predominant. Now they're writing the Hebrew, they're writing from the Hebrew, and they're doing the kind of learning new. Glory to God. Are you following me? So when you see them write euangelion, which is good news, just the same way we call it, we have good news, gospel. And I say it's from the word euangelion in the Greek. When you wrote it in Greek, euangelion, it's from a Hebrew word. Are you following me? Are you following me? It's from the Hebrew word basar. It's from the Hebrew word basar. It's that word basar, B-A-S-A-R, is used 26 times in the Hebrew text. And we're going to run through it 26 times. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But from the conclusion, if you look at the word, where the word basar is used, it's used not just for a good news, but also is used in, is not just used for good news. In First Samuel, is used for what is not so good news. A good news that contains a bad news. Hallelujah. Not so good news. So, remember I said we are getting into our subject. In First Samuel, chapter 4, 1 Samuel 4:17, look at what it says. It says, so the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter amongst the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. Did you see that? The word basar is the word messenger. Is used for the news of war, not a good news. Is that a good news? Is that a good news? Someone is dead. Israel is fleeing. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So it's used for the messenger of a messenger, right? One who carries a message of war. Did you see that? A message of war. In 1 Samuel 31:9. 1 Samuel 31:9. Are you there? 1 Samuel 31 verse 9. It says, now this is the guy that, okay, it says, and they cut off his head and strip off his armor and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim in the temple of their idols and amongst the people. And they put his armor, that is the armor of Saul and his son, they put his armor in the temple of the Astaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That is the word for the publish, the proclaim it, to proclaim. What did they proclaim? The death of Saul. So to them is a good news. Saul is dead, right? To the Palestine. Eh? The Philistines. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Philistines is a good news, right? Saul is dead. The Saul that made David to kill Goliath. Saul is dead, right? It's good news. But to Israel, it's a bad news. Saul is dead. Did you see that? Did you see that? Hallelujah. So it's a good news that has a bad news. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In 2 Samuel 1:20, when David said, tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the street of Ascalon. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel 1:20. Proclaim not in the street of Ascalon. Let the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Let the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. So it's used for the announcement of Saul's death, Saul's fall. Hallelujah. Tell it not, to tell a message, to tell a news. In 2 Samuel 4:10, 2 Samuel 4:10, it says, when someone told me, saying, look, Saul is dead, thinking he has brought me good news, I arrested him and had him executed in what? Ziglag. The one who thought I would give him a reward for his news. Do you see that? Hallelujah. News. A report. In 2 Samuel 18, this is quite a reading. 2 Samuel 18. We'll read from verse 19. Let's take from verse 19. 2 Samuel 18 from verse 19. What is it? So then, Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, let me run out and take the news to the king how the Lord has avenged him of his enemies. You see that? Of his enemies. 20. And Joab said to him, you shall not take the news this day, for you shall take the news another day. But today you shall take no news, because the king's son is dead. Did you see that? Because the king's son is dead. Then verse 31. Just read down. Verse 31. Just then, the Cushite came. And the Cushite said, there is a good news, my lord, the king. For the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you. Did you see that? Hallelujah. The written story is used for the overthrowing of a kingdom. So it's a news to about what? A kingdom. Is that a kingdom? Used for freedom from oppression. Overthrowing of a kingdom. In 1 Kings 1, from verse 41 to 45. He says, now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. And then Joab heard the sound of the horn and said, why is the city in such a noisy uproar? Why is he still speaking? There came Jonathan, the son of Abijah, the priest, and Adonijah said to him, come in, for you are a prominent man, and bring good news. Then Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, our Lord King David has made Solomon king. You see that? Has made Solomon, so it's the news of a new king, the reign of a new kingdom. Hallelujah. The reign of a new king. Hallelujah. Is this for the reign of a new king? In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. It says, sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nation, his wonders among all people. Is used for God's deliverance. Hallelujah. Other references would be Isaiah 49:27-52:7. Isaiah 49:27-52:7. So, it is not always a good news. It's not always a good news. It is the news of a kingdom. The news of a kingdom. The news of the overthrowing of one and the reign of another. the news of the overthrowing of a kingdom and the ruling of another. So if we go back to Romans 1:1-3. Are you following me? So when it calls the gospel of God, it talks about God. Will it include a kingdom? Yes. Something we'll get to see, not today. But we saw that when Jesus asked them to go preach the gospel, he will tell them, at a point, he tell them, go preach the gospel of the kingdom. This is that, is the announcement of the kingdom. Do you understand? So when you say the gospel of God, we believe it's concerning God's kingdom, God's reign, right? The gospel of God will be God's reign, right? We'll get to see that shortly. God's reign, God's intervention. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Okay. Back to that Romans 1. So look at verse 3. Verse 2 says, which you promise afore, right? Through his prophetic the Holy Spirit concerning his son. So that concerning his son is what we want to look at. Concerning the son of Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And when he says concerning his son, see, you must understand how Paul is writing. Paul is not writing that when they were writing, they saw Jesus Christ and they were writing, this is Jesus. No. Are you following me? So, what Paul is making you see is that the eventual conclusion of what they said when we were together, when you read the 39 books, right, will be what? Concerning his son Jesus Christ. Did you see that? When you read them together, it will point to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following me? It will point to a person. Point to a person. The same thing he would do in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 from verses 1. Look at what he did the same thing. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which you also receive, in which you stand. Right? The by which you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in me. For I deliver to you first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Well, yeah, according to the scripture. You don't go to any part of the scripture where you find Jesus died for our sins in the 39 books. No, but it's according to the scripture, is referencing Genesis to Malachi. But you will not see anywhere where you find Jesus died for our sins. No. But that is the eventual conclusion when you read everything. Do you get it? Glory to God. You know Isaiah, how am I getting to Isaiah today? Now, you know Isaiah didn't mention Jesus. But when the Ethiopian eunuch read, when he was a question, what question did he ask? Philip, say, this man speaking of himself or someone else. This is that. And what did Philip now do from Isaiah? Now they're teaching him concerning Christ. Because, do you understand? So when you read together, you will see. You read it. 39 books together, you will see that he speaks concerning Christ. So Paul now, what Paul did is a summary. So if you read the 39 books together, what it will summarize will be what? Concerning Christ's death. Right? Christ died for us according to the scripture. You find it when you read together. Right? He was buried and he rose the third day. Are you following me?
Yes,
glory to God. That would be the interpretation when you read them together. That is why I said theology, your theology must lead you to Christology. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Or your theology must lead you to Christ. Your theology must lead you to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if I'm to read my theology, my first point of call when I read theology will be Christology. Hallelujah. You must have to do it that way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Okay. Now, so that is if I read scripture together, this is what it shows. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That he was buried and on the third day he rose the third day according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. According to the scriptures. Facts of the gospel. Amen. Amen. So when I look at, so that means when I go back to that Romans 1 and I see which he promised afore, that is the word, when you use the word promise afore in Romans 1 2, it will reference Genesis 1, right? Promise before. We did get this study in the the revelation of God concerning the word beginning. Right? We did the word beginning, and we say some synonyms, some words that are related to the word arche, which is beginning, is you have the word promise afore. Now whenever you see those words, they point you back to Genesis, right? So when it's only promise afore, we mean it was from Genesis down to Malachi. Is that not it? Uh-huh. So that means whoever Genesis 1, that implies I will read of God's gospel, which we call is God's kingdom, right? Right? We have a God's kingdom, right? I will read of God's gospel, God's kingdom, his intervention, his plan. His gospel, his intervention, his plan. You can, in your notes, circle the word plan, because when we get there, you understand why I actually put this plan. This plan from Genesis. Hallelujah. Do you get me? That means I will read God's gospel, which is his kingdom, his intervention, his plan from Genesis. Hallelujah. And as I read, what should I have at the back of my mind? I must sit in that seat of the firstborns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what was I understand from the audience? The audience is the Exodus audience. Are you following me? The audience is who? The Exodus audience. So I must not forget that. The Exodus audience. Are you following me? Eh? So let's see, before we look at something, let's go to Exodus and see something. The Exodus audience. Exodus 6:6. We'll just read 6 alone. We'll read the others later. Exodus 6:6. See, look at what it says. No, Exodus 6:3. It says, verse 2. I am the Lord. Verse 3. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name I was not known to them. Do you see that? To Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want you to see that. So that means in Genesis, he will write to them to let them know who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. Do you see that? He will write for them to know who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. And in doing so, he will write about their origin. Are you following me? Know the God. That's why Genesis is the center theme of Genesis is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Read well. Hallelujah. That is the center theme. Glory to God. Write about the God. So you now see that activities of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then you see God's story told. Are you following me? Glory to God. So that means I will read of God's gospel, his intervention, his plan from the Genesis. Right? Glory to God. Taking the seat of the first audience, which is the Exodus audience, and understanding the fact that what is being taught them will be what concerning the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. So can we take that audience now? Can we take that seat now? Yes. Glory to God. So I was understand the language of that day, what was happening in their world, right?
Yes,
right? They were where? In Egypt. They have an ancestor. Okay, their ancestral fathers is Ruth, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. So, Genesis 1. And they were unbelieving.
but we are looking away from that. But we will have it. Hallelujah. Why are we looking away from it? We are believers, right? Right? Uh-huh. Okay, but I just want you to learn what I'm trying to do is teaching you so that you know how to read scriptures. I believe that when you get to these books, you would not shiver. Remember I said we'll be reading the five books of Moses together. And then in reading the five books of Moses together, we'll be looking at it with the lenses of what? The synoptic and the what? And what? Ephesus. I told us, right? I don't get to. So like we are reading backwards. Glory to God. You are looking at them because what they have in the foreground will be that. Now in Genesis 1, God's promise are four. So let's read God's promise are four. So you know the word, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So, question. It says, in the beginning. Before now, we have looked at the fact that the beginning in the, permit me to use this word, in the New Testament books, the four, the synoptic and the epistles. Now we saw that the beginning always reference where? Genesis 1, right? It reference the Genesis 1 beginning. So the question will now be, if it references Genesis 1 beginning, what then? Or what does the beginning in Genesis 1 represent? Did you get what the question I asked? If the beginning in the synoptic and the epistles is referencing Genesis 1 beginning, then what does the beginning in Genesis 1 represent? Hallelujah. Are you following me? This is where we read scriptures. You see, we are reading backwards. Right? What does it represent? That word beginning is the word in the Hebrew reshit. Reshit. R-E-S-H-I-Y-T-H. Reshit. And what you find in Genesis 10:10? We'll do a lot of study together now. Genesis 10:10. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Akkad and Kaleb in the land of Shinar. Hallelujah. So, and the beginning of his kingdom. So, you saw the start of the kingdom. That was Rashid. In chapter 49, verse 3. Genesis 49, verse 3. Quickly watch there. The beginning of the kingdom. Genesis 49:3. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Do you see that? So it's used for Reuben. Reuben is called Jacob's beginning. Jacob's beginning. So it's used for a person. Reshit is used for a person. It's used for who? Reuben. Do you see that? Is this for the start of the kingdom? We see now and again, it's used for a person, a human being. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
In Exodus 23:19, let's look at how Moses uses it. So I restricted it to Moses. Let's see Moses' use of Reshit. Exodus 23:19. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
19. It says, and the first fruits, the first of the first fruits of your land, you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God.
you shall not boil your young goats in its mother's milk. He says, he calls it the first of the first fruit. You see that? In 34 verse 26, Exodus 34, 26. He says, the first of the first fruit of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil. So it's used for the first. Used for the first. In Numbers 15, I'm a bit fast. It should be that way. Numbers 15. Are you Numbers 15? Verse 20 to 21. Say, you shall offer a cake of your first. You shall offer a cake of the first fruit, right? What is it? The first fruit of your ground, meal as a heap offering, and as a heap offering of the threshold floor, you shall offer it up. Say, of the first of your ground meal, that is the first fruit of your ground meal, you shall give to the Lord a heap offering throughout your generations. Take note, these are symbols, right? These are eos, these are symbols, right? Right? These are, right? Moses is giving them a practice and is using it as a symbol. As a what? As a symbol, we'll get to see. And where are we going to find the explanations? We'll find the explanation in Moses, right? But for the sake of our teaching, because we're not doing, I said very soon we'll start teaching, right? So we're not teaching, we're going to see what it means in the explanation where? Four Gospels and where? Four Gospels and where? You're following me. Are you following me? Are you getting it now? Okay, we'll see what it means. Glory to God. So they are symbols. And we don't stick to symbols. We stick to what the symbol points us to. Right? Right? These are basics you should know. This one will throw you to foundation soon. Hallelujah. You're going to start next week. And correct certain things as well. Hallelujah. And take picture. It's okay to grow. And correct certain things. You have to replay it. You have not got to apostolic church. For the certificate. Some people have idolized that. I think bring the certificate. If not, it will miss. That's what it is.
Amen.
Amen. So, chapter 18, verse 12. Numbers 18, 12. Are you there? He said, and all the best of the old, the best of the new one, and the grain, their first fruit, that is what first fruit, which they offer to the Lord, are giving them to you. First fruits. These are first fruits. Can you see that? Hallelujah. 24:20. So, look at 24:20. Numbers 24:20. Then he took on Amalek, and he took up his oracle, and said, Amalek was first among the nations, but shall be the last until he perishes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But before now, what we've seen in Numbers 16 and Numbers 18, it is the first fruit offered to the Lord. You know, when they offer it, they say they are offering it to the Lord. It's a symbol, right? Never miss that. It's a what? Symbol. It's offered to the Lord. Mark that. We skip Leviticus 2:12, Leviticus 23:10. It's called first fruits. Leviticus 2:12. Let's write down to Leviticus 2:12. Is it that it's offered to the Lord? It's called the Lord's. It's for the Lord. Listen to that? It's for the Lord. Leviticus 2:12. Are you there? It says, as for the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet aroma. To the Lord. Do you see that? 23 verse 10. Leviticus 23:10. Some people, their Leviticus is coming. you will not be reading it. He wasn't prepared. Are you there? He says, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, and reap the harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest to the priest. You see that? You shall bring it before God's white of the Lord's. You see that? So it's used like that. You find it also. I identify Jeremiah. Jeremiah 49. Jeremiah 49. You don't know where Jeremiah is after the Deuteronomy. No, after the Revelation. Jeremiah 49. Are you there? Verse 34. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against Elam in the beginning of his reign, of Zedek, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, am I reading? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the foremost of their mind. This guy is the foremost. The word used for chief, the chief of their mind. The foremost used for the chief. Is used that word is used for that which is the model. That which is a model, which is a model, the chief. Are you following me? You find also, take down this in Ezekiel 20:40. Ezekiel 20:40? Ezekiel 44:30. 48:14. Remember, so the prophet will write the reshit for Moses. Remember we said that Moses is the beginning, right? So they will write the reshit or the reshit for Moses, and we said Moses used it, that is first fruit, right? Moses used the word first fruit to point to what? The real thing. Hallelujah. To God's work. Remember, why did I say this is the point to God's work? Look at Genesis 1 in the Reshit, right? Moses opens the right, his writing was Reshit, the beginning. Now he now goes, because of Exodus 3:9, unbelief, he now tells them, okay, you know what? First fruits. Are you following me? He now writes first fruits to them. Are you following me? Now, but he says in the beginning. And when he was explaining using the word beginning, he used it for the start of the kingdom. Take a look. The start of the kingdom. He also uses it for what? A person. Glory to God. Now, he now gives them a practice of what? An offering of first fruits. All this is encapsulated. Now, if you read Genesis 1 very well, you will not see seed. We're not getting to seed today, maybe next week or upper week. Now, we'll look at seed. We'll look at land. This is that all in Genesis. Then in Exodus, you will not be hearing first fruits. So, they are all together. Glory to God. Now, when we start talking about seed, to begin, that's why I told you I was actually reading my notes on seed. You know, I'm reading everything again. Glory to God. You get to see everything together. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's Moses' writing. Remember, I said we have to read it together. It was with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers together. Deuteronomy. Everything together. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And I said, just reading them all together, you see that Moses is talking about a person. And just to say, Moses looks concerning. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So that word Roshit or Reshit is from another Hebrew word. They are from the same base. It's the word Rosh. Rosh is the word used for head. Head. One's dominion. Used for head, one's dominion. Genesis 3:15. It says, we talk about the seed of the woman, he shall bruise the head of the serpent, the head, the dominion. Talk about dominion. Talk about reign. Jonathan, talk about reign. In Genesis 8:5 and Genesis 11:4 is used for the word top. The top. Used for the word the top. And Genesis 28:12. Genesis 8:5, Genesis 11:41 and 28:12 is used for top. The head. The top. That which is on top. Head. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Use for the head. In Exodus 6:14. Let's look at Exodus 6:14. Remember I said we are reading them together. In Exodus 6:14. Exodus 6:14. These are the head of the family of their father's house. So it's used for the head of the family. In 6:25, the same thing, 6:25, head of the family. 17:9, 17:10, used for the head. It's used for rulers. Exodus 18:25, rulers. Exodus 18:25. Make sure you have a study for all these things. Used for rulers. Exodus 18:25. In Exodus 12:2 is used for the beginning. Exodus 12:2. Beginning of months. Exodus 12:2. And it shall be the beginning. This is the beginning. Exodus 12:2. So if I look at it, if I look at what we are saying, first fruits, right? First fruit, beginning, when we can, in the beginning, what does it represent? When Moses said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this is where we write and reference to, right? So what does it then represent? And Moses is telling us it means Roshit, first fruit. It means Roshit, head, a model. Did you see that? Glory to God. So let's look at that word. When it was the dominion, or the explanation of that word in Greek. Hallelujah. So let's look at it in the lenses of the synoptic and the epistles. The word first fruits. Remember the word first fruits, right? Right? That Moses gave to them as a what? Practice. Glory to God. As a practice. So let's see. The first fruits. In Romans 8:23, first fruits. You know, there are a lot of people who say the reason why things are not going right is because your first fruits. Where is your first fruits? You know, there's nothing that money gospel cannot monetize. Hallelujah. The reason why you are broke is because you don't give your first fruits. Your first allowance, who did you give it to? You don't bring it to the Lord. You ate your allowance. That's you ate your first allowance. And then they posted me to this. You are an idiot. When Lagos was there. Hallelujah. Or easy to buy kunu and milk. And you fed the man of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody is going to take you away by the reason why Santos crashed is because they don't bring their first fruits. Their first fruits, the first increase. And they had a man of God. Could you not understand the principle? He that breaked the egg, what will happen? So the serpent struck. Here we are. You know, there's nothing money that the gospel cannot convert. Hallelujah. Amen. Where is your first fruit? And Abraham offered his first fruit. How did you get it there?
Did you get it?
How did you get to that point?
Do you? But first fruits is not talking about money. Remember, it points to something. Moses writes it for you to see what it's pointing to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Writes it for you to see what it's pointing to. So let's see. Romans 8:23.
Are you there? Romans 8:23. It says, not only that, but we also, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body.
I was supposed to say something about this. So I have to say something about eschatos.
I actually have it on a different note. I actually have that sitting on a different note.
Oh my God. Who's that? Look at another thing. I have it on a different note.
Oh.
Oh, I did. It's another different. Hallelujah. It's another different.
No problem. Hallelujah. See you then. You know?
Yeah. You guys don't know why I'm feeling this. This is what I'm doing. I'm in my mind, but I'm going to teach about this. I just some scriptures to talk about it. Look at verse 29.
Romans 8:29. Yeah. It says, for who is he for you? He also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Did you see that? The word firstborn.
Who is he referring to?
Jesus.
Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Because he was the firstborn. In 1 Corinthians 15:20. Oh, we'll look at this, what I want to show you later. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who are fallen asleep. First fruits.
Who did he call first fruits?
Christ.
Did you see that?
23. It says, but each of you in his order, Christ the first fruits, after those who are Christ at his coming.
Christ is the word first fruits. Did you see that? Did you see that?
Christ is the word first fruits. James 1:18.
Oh, forgot to. James 1:18.
It says, of his own will, he began us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creation, of his creature. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hebrews 1:6. Hebrews 1:6. He said, but when he again brings his firstborn into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Did you see that? Firstborn. Hebrews 12:26. Hebrews 12:26. That's the word Reshit in the Hebrew. Hebrews 12:26. He said, whose voice shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will. No? 20. No, read that. 23. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. 23. Yet to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Did you see that? Firstborn. Firstborn. Did you see that? Glory to God. So, when Moses, listen, when Moses wrote that thing today, all those practices today, he was trying to explain the beginning. Are you following? Eh?
So that means what he gave to them as a practice was a pointer to what? You know, today they say it was a pointer to God's firstborn of the first fruit, which is Christ. No, you are right. Eh? Right? But let's take that seat of the first audience. You know, what you are doing is that when you say it points to, you are writing it to point to first fruit, is to point to Christ. Christ's work. Christ is God's offering. Right? You are right in today's word. That is the interpretation, right? But you know, we are taking that seat of the first audience. I want to do something to us now. Okay, now, if you are in that audience, you don't know anything called Christ. You know, you don't know anything called Christ. Okay, you don't know anything called Jesus, right? Eh? So what are you left with? God's work, right? Will it be God's glory? Will it be God's glory? Right? Will it be God's glory? Right? Show me your glory. Come on, think it. Let's not have to do it. Right? Will it be God's glory? Will it be God's glory? God's work? What God will do? Right? Are you following me? Uh-huh. Those are things I need you to see. So, the eventual interpretation of it will now be what? Found in where? In Christ, because Christ is God's glory and will behold his glory. Are you following? Yes. Are you following? Aha. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope you are following. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. In Colossians 1, where is your first fruit? I receive Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to carry your first salary is your first fruits. Glory. Bring it to the Lord. Who will you give your first salary to? Do you get your first fruits? Colossians 1. Okay. Verses 18. Look at what Paul now did in verse 18. Next week we'll see explore more on this. But look at what Paul did in verses 18.